right, this morning, you know, at Christmas we always talk about. The reason we have gifts on the stage up here is because we're not into giving, all that kind of stuff. But Christmas is when the greatest gift that was ever given was given to us. And so we always talk about one of the great gifts that God gives at Christmas. You know, last year we talked about joy, the gift of joy. But this year we are going to talk about the gift of glory. The gift of glory that God gave us when he gave us Jesus. You know, when the angels said the glory of the Lord, when they came down to the shepherds, said the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were afraid. And the angel said, don't be afraid, for we're bringing you good news. And you know, so much of the world is scared of God because the devil has lied so much on God and said so many bad things about God, that storms and tornadoes come from God and sickness comes from God and all this mess that the devil does, he blames it on God. And people are scared of God. But the message is still the same. It's good news. It's never bad news. All he wants for us is good. And so we're going to talk about that glory this morning. We're going to go to John chapter 1, verse 14. It said, the word of God became flesh, and it dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. So the word right out of God's mouth became flesh, who is Jesus Christ. And he came to this earth, and we saw the glory of God through Jesus. God is this wonderful, more than our minds can ever comprehend, good God. But man just could not get it. He just couldn't. All through the Old Testament, they thought God was so bad, you know, and they were scared of God. God, you know, at the mountain, the people said, Moses, you talk to God. We're scared of him. We don't want to talk to him. And so the only way that God could reveal how good he was to send Jesus. And Jesus is the very glory of God. And he came down in flesh form, and the life that he lived revealed the glory of God to us. The Bible says in Habakkuk that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. You know, that hasn't happened yet because most of the world is not saved. Jesus said there will be very few that enter the gate to heaven and many, many, many that enter the gate to hell. And so although the earth is filled with the knowledge of God, the knowledge of his glory, because Jesus came here and showed it to us, most of the world doesn't see it. The word glory means to be, in Hebrew, the word means to be heavy. And what that means is it's loaded down with everything that is good. It's where the word rich comes from. It's where the word, it means to be heavy in wealth, heavy in goodness, heavy in blessings, heavy in everything that is good. In our language, when you say somebody's loaded, you're usually talking about money, but in God's language, it means everything that is good. And what the devil has done is made the world believe that bad comes from God. And that is such a lie. Because everything that is good, ever has been good, and ever will be, is God. And that is his glory. I want to give you just a few scriptures here. See, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, when we pray, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. See, what we're praying is, all this great glory of God that is in heaven can come to earth. It has already come to earth the first time on that first Christmas. It came in the person of Jesus Christ. So when we ask Jesus Christ to come into our heart, all the glory of God came into us. That's why it says in the book of Ephesians, we are already blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so when we bring Jesus to this earth, the same way Mary brought him physically to the earth, we bring him spiritually to the lost world. We're bringing the glory of God into the earth. When we say, your kingdom come just like it is in heaven, here it is on earth, the way that happens is when we live out the glory of God that is in us. When people look at us and they see all the good things that God does for us. When they see how our old person that we were before Jesus came in dies and this new person begins to live inside of us, that's the glory of God. And it's bringing glory out of heaven onto earth the same way that Jesus did. There are three kingdoms. There's the kingdom of the world, there's the kingdom of Satan and darkness, and then there's the kingdom of God. Well, see, the kingdom of the world is a part of Satan's kingdom, but they just don't know it. How many lost people do you know that does not even believe in God? Don't even believe in the devil. They don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in hell. And the more the education pushes that you're really stupid if you believe in God and if you believe in stuff that you can't see, and more that spirit is more and more taking over the world, that something is really bad wrong with you mentally if you believe that. They're trying to put this guilt trip on the world, that especially when little kids are taught this in school, there's something wrong with you if you believe that, you know. And so the world system is really Satan's system, but they don't even know they're Satan's system because they don't believe in the devil. And so what does the kingdom of Satan do? Kill, steal, and destroy. But see, then there is the kingdom of God. And this is what Jesus said. He said, it has been given to you, those of us who believe in Jesus, and Jesus is living inside of us, to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But the world will never know them because they're Satan's. See, the Bible says if Satan had known who Jesus was, he wouldn't have killed him. He's so ignorant. He just blunders around blindly killing, stealing, and destroying. But see, the Jesus, the glory of God that lives in us, knows how to cut him off at every attack. So we put on the whole armor of God so that we can stop every attack of the enemy. Jesus said in Luke 17, he said, don't say the kingdom of God is here, here, here. He said, the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God is in us. This is where the kingdom of God is. And if it's going to come into the world, it's going to come into the world by coming out of us. See, our mission, our goal in life is to live with Jesus forever in his kingdom. But we have a mission that we got to accomplish before that happens. And that mission is to bring the kingdom of God into the earth the same way that Jesus did. Jesus said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is here. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received. See, God's glory didn't cost us a dime. Not one penny. We just opened our mouth and said, Jesus, I believe in my heart. And I confess with my mouth. And it didn't cost us anything. And so, see, we are supposed to be freely turning around and giving that to every person that we come in contact. We're supposed to lay hands on the sick and pray for them every time we see the sick. Number one, we're supposed to believe that we are healed by the healing Jesus that lives inside of us. See, the Bible said that when Jesus did his first miracle in Canaan, it said he began to manifest his glory on earth. See, the glory of God is miracles. It's healing. It's everything good. You know, there are still religions that teach that God will make you sick. He'll put a sickness on you to teach you something. You know, preachers still preach that. It just amazes me. Number one, that a preacher would preach it, but number two, that people would believe it. Knowing that everything about God is good. Everything. And so, when Jesus did his first miracle here on earth, it said he began to manifest. The word manifest means to be seen. To let the world see the glory of God that operated inside of him. Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come into you. And he said, how can you enter into a strong man's house and just plunder him unless you first, there's a hole up here, unless you first bind the strong man, then you plunder his house. So see, we bind Satan and we cast him out of ourselves, and then we can bind him and cast him out of others. All sickness are spirits of infirmity. For the past 2 weeks, I have laid my hands on my husband all night long and said, I command you, spirits of infirmity, you leave his body. And the deacons have been meeting with him twice a week, laying hands, saying, we cast out spirits of him. Because, see, we have that authority, and and that's how we bring the kingdom of God from heaven into earth. See, that's how we bring all the good things, God, is to do exactly what Jesus said to do. He told us to lay hands on the sick. He told us to cast out demons. He told us to raise the dead. I can't wait till I get to do that, you know? It says in 2 Corinthians that God, who commanded the light to shine into the world, has shined into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If you want to see the full glory of God, you look at Jesus. You go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you look at Jesus, and you look at Jesus, and you look at Jesus. And the more you look at him, the more you see his glory. It says in John 14, he said, I say, whoever believes in me, the works that I do, he will do greater because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father is glorified in the Son. See, he wants us to ask for everything good. Now, he's not going to give us if we ask things are bad, because it says in James that if we ask for things wrong, we're not going to get them. If we ask for things to put on our lust, You know, we're not going to get evil things from God. Now, the devil will give them to us all day long. He'll give us any evil thing we want. But God's not going to give us anything evil. And so when we ask and God does it, that glorifies Him. And in 2 Corinthians 4 said, in this light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And you say, well, then why do we go through trials and battles then if God wants us to have all this good? See, why? Because the trials and the battles don't come from God. The devil is trying to prove that God is not good. And the way he does it is by he constantly tries to kill, steal, and destroy us. But the Bible says that this is just a light affliction. I can't tell you how many times Jerry Dale has said that to me in the last 2 weeks. He said, this is just a light affliction and it's bringing the glory of God. This is just a light affliction and it's bringing the glory of God. It's a lying symptom. It's a lying devil. Nothing ever came out of his mouth except this is a light affliction and it's a lying devil. And the blood of Jesus has already bought and paid for complete healing. It says, for we do not look at the things that we see, but the things that we do not see. Jesus said, blessed or happy are those who believe in what they don't see, not what they see. See, and I honestly believe that that doctor saw that tumor when he looked in there. But that don't mean it was real. It was a lie from the pit of hell. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that we do not see are eternal. So when we look into the Word of God, into the face of Jesus, and we see all the glory of God, that is what's going to last forever.
Hallelujah.
You know, God wants to show us His glory.
And I love that passage Pastor Elaine was talking about Moses, where Moses said to God, the cry of his heart, like this song was this. It was, show me your glory. He could ask for anything he wanted to, but the cry of his heart was, God, show me your glory, because he knew that everything that he needed was wrapped up in the goodness of God. And so God said, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock and I'm going to show you my goodness. God wants to reveal his glory to us. And you think about what happened to Moses because he observed for just a moment the glory of God. He didn't even realize the transformation that took place in his life. When the glory of God encounters our lives, how many of you know there is transformation? He came down off of that mountain and the scripture tells us that he shone bright like the sun. He was radiant to the point that they had to put a veil over his face because they couldn't look upon him. And that's what happens to us when we encounter the glory of God. You know, all the way back from the beginning of time, from the Garden of Eden, God has wanted us, his people, to live in his glory. You know, Adam and Eve lived in the full glory of God. They walked with him and they talked with him. All of God's goodness was with them. And the enemy came in and humanity cooperated with that and they were separated from the glory of God. But from that time until this, it has been God's plan. It has been his desire. It has been his heart. It has been his mission that we once again would be a people that lived in the glory, that we had the glory of God evident in our lives. God's glory was intended to be with us. I love the prophet Isaiah. He prophesied this and it was spoken again in the first part of Matthew. It says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and she shall bring forth a son and they will call his name what? Emmanuel. Everybody say Emmanuel, which is God with us. Emmanuel interpreted is God with us. And Pastor Lane told us that Jesus was the manifestation of the glory of God. God had a plan to bring his glory back into our lives. Remember all the way back after Moses met with God on Sinai and he experienced his glory. God had him build a tabernacle where his glory dwelt and he would invite people to come and be in his glory. And then he had David build a tabernacle where the glory of God dwelt. But how many of you know God had bigger plans for the glory of God than that? And then so he sent Jesus, his son, who was the manifest glory of God, Emmanuel, God with us on this earth, the glory of God, so that we could see the glory of God. For the first time, when eyes were laid upon Jesus, we could see for the first time the very goodness of God. Jesus was the manifestation of God's glory on the earth. Because when Jesus walked or he talked or he taught or he touched someone, everything he did released the supernatural power of God. Jesus brought heaven to earth. He brought the glory of heaven and he manifested it on the earth. And he affected kingdom change wherever he went and to whomever he encountered. How many of you know that an encounter then with Emmanuel or an encounter now with Emmanuel is an encounter with God's glory that will transform our lives? See, it always brought supernatural change when a person encountered the glory of God. Whether the glory of God encountered them through the hands of Jesus or the spoken words of Jesus, or whether Jesus touched them or someone reached out and they touched him. Wherever the glory came in contact with a person in their lives, it brought supernatural change. I think about the adulteress who was thrown down at the feet of Jesus. How many of you know that when she came in contact with the glory of God, that it brought forgiveness and it brought grace to her life? The leper, when he came in contact with the glory of God, it brought cleansing and it brought wholeness to his body. The woman with the issue of blood who pursued the glory of God, who reached out because she needed it, and she reached out and she touched the glory of God. It brought healing to her body that she could find nowhere else. When the blind would come in contact with the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ, those who have been blind since birth, they received their sight. And even those who were physically dead, when they encountered the glory of God through Jesus Christ, they experienced resurrection life. When we encounter the glory of God, we encounter the goodness of God. And all that heaven has to offer through the glory of God, He wants to manifest it to us. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you would believe, you will see the glory of God. How many of you know that all we have to do is believe and we will see the glory of God? How many of you this Christmas season need to encounter the glory of God and all of its goodness? See, His glory was intended to dwell not only with us, but within us. That was God's plan. See, we as believers are in Jesus, and guess what? Jesus is in us. The scripture says in Colossians 1:26, this mystery, which was hidden for ages and for generations, has now been revealed to His saints. How many of you know that we're so blessed because now we know the mystery has been revealed? And this is the mystery. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, Christ in us. Not only did God want His glory to be with us, He wanted to make a way for His glory to be within us. Because when His glory is within us, it becomes the hope of the world. He says that it's Christ that's in us, and that is the hope of glory. The passage that Pastor Lane referenced a few moments ago, which is that the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The only way that's going to happen is the kingdom of God and the glory of God, which dwells in us, it comes out of us and it becomes the hope of the world. The glory within us, how many of you know that when the glory is within us, it's going to change us? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, but we all with unveiled face. How do we have an unveiled face? The way we have an unveiled face is when we accept the truth of Jesus Christ. Until then, there is a veil. We are blinded. But when we receive, when the faith within us reaches out and accepts Him as Jesus and makes Him the Lord of our lives, how many of you know the veil comes off of our eyes, the blinders come off of our eyes, and the scripture says that when with unveiled face we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And we are being transformed into the same image, that's the image of Jesus, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. So the glory of God that comes to us as we behold the glory of God. How many of you know that change is difficult? Change is impossible. We cannot change ourselves. We can will ourselves to quit something for a while, and we can will ourselves to do something for a while. But how many of you know that inside change is not possible with human strength? But the scripture tells us that as we behold the glory of the Lord, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, how many of you know that that's our part? That's our part. We have to position ourselves to behold the glory of the Lord. We behold Jesus. We behold Him in the Word of God. We behold Him in prayer. We allow the Spirit of God to reveal Him to us. We make Him priority in our life. And as we behold the glory of the Lord, this scripture says that we are changed, that we are transformed, that when we encounter His glory, that transformation happens in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this has always been God's plan for us, not just to save us and catch us out of here, but to save us and to fill us with His glory so that we might be transformed. The scripture says in Romans 8:29, that whom God foreknew. Do you know that God was thinking about you before you ever existed? God knew you. For whom God foreknew, He also predestined, or He had a destined plan for us to be conformed into the image of His Son. And the only way we're going to be conformed into the image of His Son is as His glory fills us more and more. And as we behold that glory, we will be changed into the image of Jesus. Philippians 3:21 says this, that He will take these weak, mortal bodies of ours. Anybody ever feel weak and mortal? Anybody facing anything in life right now where you feel like you're weak and mortal? How many of you know we don't have the power? We don't have the power to change anything. It's got to be the glory of God within us. It's got to be the power of God within us. The scripture says that he will take our weak mortal bodies and he will change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same mighty power that he will use to conquer everything everywhere. Aren't you thankful that his mighty power in us, that his glory in us has the ability to change us and enable us to conquer all things everywhere? See, because his glory comes to us to forgive us. Aren't you thankful for that? His glory comes to us to cleanse us. His glory comes to us to change us. His glory comes to us to heal us. His glory comes to us to free us. Do you agree with that? His glory comes to us to restore us, and his glory comes to us to empower us. Because the glory of God has to come to us before it can flow through us. Amen. And if the earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, then we've got to be filled with the glory of God. And as we're filled with the glory of God, how many of you know we're going to be changed? This time next year, you're going to look at me and you're going to say, you look different than you did last year. And I'm going to look at you and I'm going to say, you look different than you did last year. You don't look like yourself anymore. You're looking more and more like Jesus every day. As we make it a priority this next year to behold his glory, we will be transformed into the image of his son. Amen.
Couldn't remember if there was a video right there. Next thing we're going to talk about for just a few minutes is the glory inspires us to change. How that this gift from God, who God is, his glory, it inspires us to change. I want to read this scripture again that we've already read. It says, "For it is God who commands the light to shine out of the darkness and has shown it into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So that's what I want to talk to you about just a minute, about in the face of Jesus Christ. That scripture that Stephen just read says, whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Well, see, one of the meanings of veil is flesh. See, when we turn to Jesus, we quit being a flesh man and start being a spiritual person. And so where the Lord is, that's the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. It says, "But we all with open face behold," which means look, "as in a glass or a mirror at the glory of the Lord. And we are changed into that very same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord." So what happens is when we come to Jesus and that flesh is taken away, we become a person of the Spirit. The only way that we are going to move from one level of glory to the next level of glory, which is from one good thing to the next good thing to the next good thing, and we won't live long enough to get to all the good things that God has for us, but we can get as many of them as we have time to get. It comes by you going and you looking in that Word. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you study in the life of Jesus. The only way that we can know how Jesus behaved and acted and what he did was by looking at Jesus. The Bible's called the face of God. The face of Jesus is the Word of God. He became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God became flesh. And we see his glory. We see his grace. We see his truth. And when we look at Matthew, Mark, and we study the life of Jesus, and everything that we see that Jesus did, we do it like Jesus did it. Then what happens is the Spirit changes us from glory to glory. For instance, if you come to Jesus needing healing, then you want to study all the healings. Jesus, when they would come to Jesus, say, "If you will, you can heal me." Jesus said, "It is my will." Will means desire. It's always my desire to heal. You won't find anywhere in the Bible where Jesus put a disease on somebody. Even in the Old Testament, that scripture they quote all the time says, "If you obey me, I will not put any of the diseases on you. I'll put on the Egyptians." Well, that's a horrible translation from Hebrew into English. What that actually says in Hebrew is, "I will not allow any of the diseases to come on you that came on the Egyptians." There's a whole lot of difference in putting something on somebody and allowing it to come. Allow means it's got its own legs and it's going to walk over there and do it. Put means it's dead and you're just going to pick it up and move it over here. What he said was, "I will not allow any of those demons of infirmity to come on you when you obey me." See? So, we look and see what Jesus said, talking about healing. He would look at them. He would say, what you believe is what will happen. It will be according to your faith. What do you believe? So a person will get sick, and what are the first thing they do? Start planning their funeral. And what you believe is what's going to happen. See? And your family members will start treating you like you're going to die. What you believe is what's going to... It don't matter what's coming out of your mouth if you're not believing it. See? When you get sick, if you believe Jesus' blood has already healed you and you're going to resist those demons until they're all gone, you're going to... See, the Bible says when you resist the enemy, he flees. That means you stand up every day and say, I have authority over you. Jesus said he gave us power over all spirits, all serpents and scorpions, and over all the spirits of the enemy, and nothing can hurt me. And you say that until those spirits leave. And you don't believe they leave when you don't feel it anymore. You believe it when Jesus said it and you read it. You don't wait for your healing to be manifest to believe it. You believe you're healed when you see in the Word Jesus said you were healed. All right, and so see, that brings you into a new level of glory to how to always be healed. Then once you know how to be healed, you can lay hands on other people. And you run those demons of infirmities off of them. All right, now let's move from sickness to going from glory to glory. What if it's a money issue? What if you're always having money issues? Well, you go study the life of Jesus. How did Jesus not have money issues? And you do exactly what Jesus said. You know what he told the Pharisees? You'll hear people tell you all the time, oh, tithing is Old Testament. Well, not according to Jesus. Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, you tithe this and this and this. He said, which you should do. He said, but you leave out the more important things. Tithing is not one of the most important things. But if you don't tithe, you'll never be financially blessed. Unless you're selling drugs. And then you're probably not going to heaven. Money belongs to the world. Amen. When you have Jesus, you don't need a lot of money. All you need is Jesus. And when you need something, he will always provide if you have faith. See? Don't matter how much money you've got in the bank or in your checkbook. When you get into a need, he said, I will supply all of your needs according to his what? Riches and glory. Glory, everything that is good. Money is good when you need it to live. Money is evil when you love it. Because Jesus said you can only love God or money. So when you study, you go and you look in the face of Jesus, what he said about money, and you do it just like Jesus did it, then your money will begin to go from good thing to good thing. Let me tell you another thing about money. Jesus said that if a man don't supply for his household, he's worse than an infidel. An infidel is a non-believer. How can you be worse than a non-believer? You're a non-believer who don't work. A lost person who won't work. That's worse than being lost. A lost person who won't work. And so, you know, your money problem may be you're just lazy and don't want to work. See, but if you do it like Jesus did it, see, Jesus was a carpenter. See, he had a job until God called him into full time walking away and preaching the gospel. And if that's your heart's desire, God will do that for you too. But not if you're not, don't work first. And if you're single, then it's your job to supply for yourself. You're the head of your household. And so, all right, now let's move on. What's another good thing? Relationships. He wants all of our relationships to be good. This is the second most important way you prove to God how much you love him. First, you love the Lord your God with all your heart. And second, you love your neighbor. You love everybody the way you love yourself. Prejudiced people, I don't think, are going to heaven. Sorry, my belief. Because James says you cannot have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and have respect of persons, which is prejudice. I believe that we have to love every single person on this face of the earth. And that if we ever mistreat a person, then we're going to have to pay the price for mistreating them and not walking in love. And so if the relationships in our life are all really bad, where we need to look is not at the people, but at ourselves. We need to look at ourselves if people don't like us, don't want to be around us. You know, lost people should not like us, but Christians should like us. Now, everybody that goes to church is not a Christian. You understand that? The devil sends a lot of people to church. In fact, when Jesus came, everybody in church nearly was a devil. He had to go find his people in the fishing boats and, you know, the tax collectors, the scum of the earth. But that's changed since Jesus started his church. But everybody that goes to church is not a Christian. So if you go to church and somebody is mean to you, does that give us a right to be mean back? If they gossip on us, does that give us a... No. The only thing we can do is love the way Jesus loved. How did Jesus love his enemies? Well, you got to go and look in his face, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He says, any old sinner can love their enemies. I mean, love their friends and hate their enemies. But only a real Christian can love their enemies. Be good to people that are not good to them. To not return evil for evil. That is my biggest sin. If somebody's mean to me, before I even think about it, they're going to pay. Now, I've been working on it for 40-something years. And it's still, if my husband says something to me I don't like, he's going to get a smart remark before anything else. And I mean, I've been working on that for 40 years, but I know I'm going to go from glory to glory. I'm going to get to the place that I don't retaliate. If somebody says or does something I don't like, I'm going to get there because the glory of God is in me. And if I'll stay in the face of Jesus, the Spirit will change me. The Spirit will change me. All right, I got to hurry. When Jesus went to raise Lazarus from the dead, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. What he's saying is, this sickness didn't come from God. But God's going to get glory out of it. Every sickness that comes to you does not come from God. But if you believe what Jesus said, God will get glory out of it. Hallelujah. Every time the enemy comes against us and we don't do what the devil wants us to do, God's going to be glorified. The Bible says, but the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, so that we will know what is the hope of our calling and the riches of the glory of our inheritance. So our job is to go to the face of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and a lot of revelations is Jesus talking. And everything Jesus said and did, we do. And the Spirit will begin to change us into the very image that we're looking at. And we will go from one good thing to the next good thing, to the next good thing, to the next good thing, until all of a sudden we wake up and we're flying through the universe into the arms of God, and it don't get any better than that. Hallelujah.